What up? It's Aubrey. Thanks for hanging out once again for the What's New Now podcast. Really excited for you to hear this episode. I got to sit down with Dell and Weeks from I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. And we really got into their new album, Gloom Division, which if you haven't listened to the album yet, definitely go give it a listen. It's on repeat right now for me. And I feel like the reason it is because of the bass that is just featured in all of the songs and how it's kind of like nostalgic in a way, but it's new music. So he did a great job with it. And of course, I had to ask him about the mannequin that he's dragging around for tour. And if you don't know what that is, well, then you're in for a treat. Hope you enjoy. I'm hanging with Dallin from I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. How you doing?
Aubrey, hi. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. I'm really excited about your new album, Gloom Division. And one, I love the album name. Why was it called Gloom Division?
Well, originally it was just called Gloom, but I tried to stay at least peripherally aware of what other artists are doing. And there was another artist that released either a song or an album with that same title. So I was like, damn it, I gotta make an adjustment. So went with Gloom Division just because it's a, you know, I got to keep at least part of my original name, but added the division part is a, you know, a little play on words, Joy Division, that sort of thing. And it seemed to go with the theme of the record still. So Yeah, I liked how it turned out.
I think I like Gloom Division. It's a good name. So I listened to the whole album this morning, and it has a variety of different sounds from different decades. And I was wondering what song and its sound was the most challenging for you to make on this album.
Let's see. There's one called Satanic Panic that was probably the most challenging. Mm-hmm. It was built around this saxophone sample that the algorithm sent me. This saxophone-based band, they do instrumental dance parties all around the world. And the algorithm sent me a clip of them sort of messing around, and it had this little moment in it that really scratched a particular part of my brain. So I asked them if I could sample that, and they were like, yeah. And I tried building like probably two or three different songs around it until I finally found one that seemed natural. So that was the most challenging one. So I think there was like two or three versions of that song before it landed on the one that's on the record.
Oh, interesting. Would you ever release the other versions?
No.
Okay. You can keep your secrets. Okay. Yeah.
They're not secrets that anybody wants to hear, trust me.
I read online that in this album, you made a conscious effort to not censor yourself. And I'm curious how, like, in what ways do you feel like you were censored before?
Well, over the course of the pandemic, I learned that I'm neurodivergent. Mm-hmm. I started to learn about that stuff as a way I wanted to connect with my son, who's on the spectrum, and have a better, you know, communicative relationship with him. And as I was doing that, the algorithm started sending me things that resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And one by one, I was like, well, I do that, or I've done that my whole life. And eventually I had all these questions that, you know, I took to my doctor, and, you know, for sure enough, I'm neurodivergent myself. Mm-hmm. So that informed a lot of the process of writing this new record. Later in life, diagnosis for that thing, it's pretty common to like unpack your whole life and revisit a lot of moments that you've always wondered about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that informed a lot of the process.
That's really cool. I want to talk about your song, A Letter. That's a Brobex throwback, and the fan base was really excited about that. And I was curious why that song in particular, why did it fit into Gloom Division?
Well, it was kind of born out of necessity, the way that we have always played it. Back in Brobex days, this is 20 years ago, I was in the middle of my first toxic relationship, and I was written this letter that was supposed to be like this deep, dark secret that no one was ever supposed to know about, you know. And because it was a toxic relationship, after you get some perspective, you know, in hindsight, I wanted to take this awful little bit of my life and try to turn it into something beautiful. So I made this song out of it. But the problem was, at the time, the Brobex didn't have an audience. So I had this thing in my head about a room full of people turning them into a choir, basically, making them sing a harmony. Mm-hmm. But the audience just wasn't there. So when IDK House started to become a thing, and that ball started to get rolling and people started showing up, we only had five songs and we needed to fill like an hour worth of music. So I remembered that song, and like, there's a crowd now. Maybe this choir bit would actually work, and it did, and it was beautiful. So the song became about that, about a room full of people that are strangers. Maybe they don't share anything in common, but for just a moment, they can sing in harmony like that. And it's a really beautiful moment. So that's why I've never really letting it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Work.
Excuse me.
You're good. How did that work? Did you like coach them to be like, I need you guys to do this? And
yeah, it's kind of like a wordless instruction that we give before we play the song. My drummer will just like hit this kick drum beat. And I just sort of start pointing at this half and that half of the audience and give them example of what to sing. And then, I just knocked my microphone there.
You're good.
But without saying anything, it's just sort of direct them how to do it. And everybody seems to understand what's going on as it unfolds. So it's a really cool moment.
That is cool. There were comments on the video or people like, I think I can hear my voice, which I thought was really sweet.
That's awesome.
I'm curious because when we were setting all of this up and of course with the VIP experience, there is the Dalekin. And I'm curious, what is the idea or the inspiration behind that and why is
this Dalekin? I'm still not sure about the name, but basically it's a mannequin with my face.
Yeah.
And it started with, before album promo began, there was this list of all this content that I have to make because that's what you have to do now.
Yeah.
And I don't like living online and making content. It's not my favorite thing. I like making music. So I was reading this popular science magazine that had an article about a Japanese artist who makes masks of real people's faces. And this is sort of a way to beat facial recognition technology.
Okay.
You buy a mask of someone else's face.
Yeah.
So I reached out to this guy and asked if he would do a mask of my own face so that I could send it to my team and say, here, go make all the content that you want. Just put this mask on and go out into the world and do that. That didn't really happen. But so I still have this mask of my face. Mm-hmm. So when it came time to do this tour, in lieu of like meet and greet type stuff, I'm an introvert. So a lot of personal interactions just like drain my social battery. And if I want to get through this whole tour, like we've got to do something special. So we decided to do like a VIP package where people can come and watch us do sound check and we'll answer some questions and things like that. And then if they want to, they can get a picture taken with this Frankenstein monstrosity that I've made. That honestly scares the hell out of me. It lives in my basement and it has my face. And I always forget it that it's there. So I'll go down at like 3 a.m. to work on an idea or something. And hit the lights and, oh my God. Yeah.
Did you like send a photo to that artist and they just made it or were there measurements?
I had to get my face 3D scanned and then had a bunch of pictures taken and they send that off to the artist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what his method is, but he does it and you get a box back with your face inside and it's got eyelashes. It's super detailed.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and you're holding your own face in your hand. It's very bizarre.
I love that. That is really cool. Tonight at the Black Sheep, your show, let's say you have a nude listener. They've never been to an I Don't Know How show.
A nude listener?
Oh, maybe both.
They
new
need to put some clothes
nude.
On if they're coming to the show. That's a requirement for sure.
That's a requirement, yes. What can they expect from your show?
Full clothing on everyone. You should expect that. Even if it gets hot, like I'll keep that jacket on for sure.
Yeah.
Family friendly to a degree. There's a couple swears. And a couple songs that feature adult themes and situations. Mm-hmm. But, nothing too off book or out of the ordinary, I guess. But it's just a good time. I like doing it. Maybe you will, too. Who knows?
Awesome. Awesome. Really excited.
Either way, you can't come because it's sold out, right?
I think, I think it is. Well.
But next time.
Next time, you'll probably hear about it. You have another show, too.
My tour manager's trying to tell me something with sign language, but I don't speak sign language. I know a little bit of the alphabet. I always get lost around like EFG.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but the rest of it I can remember.
That's funny. Well, I'm super excited for that, and I know our listeners are. We have a few that are going to be doing the VIP experience, and I'm hoping that they take the photo with the mannequin.
Oh, I've just understood what he's saying.
What did he say?
Push the Denver show.
The Denver show.
I think that's the one show that's not sold out on this tour.
Let's get it sold out.
So, come get a creepy photo taken with a mannequin that looks like it was a twin with me in the womb that didn't get the same amount of nutrition that I got as little tiny T-Rex arms.
Love that.
All of my clothes are too big for it.
Oh, no.
It's a youth-size mannequin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it's easier to haul it around that way. So, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Does he kind of hang around on the stage with you, or is
he... No, he kind of just exists for the VIPs, and then we put him away. Because if it was sitting there watching me play a show all night, it's very disturbing.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can find the ticket link for the Denver show over at x1039radio.com. Dallin, thank you for sitting down and chatting
with
us.
Of course, yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Another big thank you to Dallin for sitting down with us and chatting about Gloom Division. It was really cool. You know how I am, and I know you're this way too. Nerding out about music is my favorite thing. So we really got to do that during this episode. Make sure you subscribe and keep an eye on the What's New Now podcast. You can find it anywhere where you listen to podcasts. And of course, at x1039radio.com. New episodes drop every Friday, and we got some good ones headed your way. So just keep that in mind. Thanks for listening.